folks, and welcome to the season finale.
Season finale, season two finale,
wrap up
and reflections.
Yeah, I think last season we just did a random episode for our last one for the season, and we're not going to do that anymore. We're just going to do a wrap up.
Yeah,
we're going to do a reflections,
all the things,
memories,
things we got wrong. Picking on me.
I'm not.
Is that, what are we, 30 seconds in? You're picking on me already.
That's okay. You get a break from me for like 6 weeks, so you'll be fine.
Things we enjoyed, stuff, mainly stuff we learned from other people, I think
so too.
Because it turns out we made mistakes.
So before we get into the episode, don't forget to subscribe wherever you're listening to your podcast, be that on YouTube or through a podcast app. Also jump onto the Facebook group if you're on Facebook, Snow It's Camping Show. And especially this time round, give us all your ideas. If you want, what you want to see next season.
Yeah.
Like literally anything to do with the podcast. If you have any ideas about how we should change our set, if you watch YouTube or if you're a listener, content, if anything that you think, any idea, like whatever, just
hairstyles, clothing.
Yep. Totally.
Accessories.
Hit us up because that'd be really cool over the next couple of weeks when we're working on formulating our new season.
We've got a few things in the pipeline already.
It'll be cool to sort of take all of that into consideration as well. Also, I didn't clear this with you first.
Oh, this should go well.
But we now have an email address, podcast@snowys.com.au.
Just increased our workload.
So if you are somebody who is doing something cool in 2023, like doing a big trip or going on, you know, like an overseas trip or something, if you're going to hike Machu Picchu or the El Camino, or you're doing something cool with your life, camping related in 2023, and
or something cool happened,
or something
while you were
cool,
camping.
Yeah, like it's, and you think maybe you might like to talk about it with us. Shoot us through an email if you know anybody that sort of fits into that category. Basically, that's what that email is there for. So, podcast@snowys.com.au.
Yep. Let us know.
Let us know.
So, wrap up for the season. We thought we'd just write down a few points from each of us of things.
It's been a big year, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has been.
But I feel like it's gone quick.
Yeah, there was more that we wanted to do, but then we also kicked a lot of goals, especially with ACOF, a Camp Oven Festival, and Cam will be well up and running with his cooking episodes by the time this episode hits the screen.
That's true.
So that was a big launch that not just us but other people, well, not really us at all actually, apart from mentioning Cam and going to ACOF. We played no role in putting that together, but our videographers, Kieran and Larry, have worked pretty hard putting all that together. I'm at the top of this list here, my notes. Did you want me to go first? Do you want to go one each?
Just go one each.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, this is not really something that happens.
Why have you made notes on mine?
Last Instant Up episode, I made notes and then realized that I shouldn't have made notes and just followed your process because I was wrong and I was confused in the middle. This is just adding more.
Okay.
Just for my own.
Adding some mental, meat. Adding some meat to the episode.
No, just so I don't forget.
Okay. All right, cool.
Anyway, the first thing, a few times this season I've had people come up and people in the shop have said, who are those paid YouTubers that you've got? Because we do the product videos, right? People thinking that we're paid like YouTube personalities to put all this together. And I just thought that was kind of funny because I thought this.
We're not actual Snowys employees who work in the shop, and we're not just, we're external influencers.
We're talents, and I'm not sure.
Well, you're definitely not a talent.
Exactly. And that's what I find funny, that I would be labelled as
recovering from a cough and I'm dying over here.
So I just wanted to reiterate that we're just average Joes who fall into this role and manage to banter our way through these episodes. And
we've both worked at Snowys and on the floor and in some capacity for a long time and ultimately got roped into. Yeah. Somebody saw something in us. And decided that we should do our YouTube videos.
So I guess I'm a little flattered in some way that people think that we're actually, you know, paid just personalities. But on the other hand, no, that's not who
we're
we are.
We're not paid personalities.
It's a funny one to open up on, but
it is funny. So I'm going to talk about Cedar Summit Sinks.
Oh, you gave me a bum steer on this one.
Because I know, and I just wanted to clarify this because, well, no, not a bum steer technically, but I just wanted to clarify because I know that in earlier episodes I've said that this sink is the bee's knees. And I still, to a certain extent, believe that to be true. But there are limitations with it. And that limitation being, or those limitations being, that you really need to fill it up to its maximum capacity in order for it to be functional. Like you can, you know, if you've got a 10-litre sink, you're probably wanting to put minimum 7 or 8 litres in there for it to work properly, because it's essentially just a shaped bag that requires being filled up in order to hold its to literally lift up the basin or the sink or whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. And so grab them. They're great. They're compact. They can hold a large volume of water, but make sure the size that you're getting is going to be practical for how much water you consistently want to be using in the bowl. Yeah.
You can use a smaller one, but then you can't fit a big pot in it. So it's
a bit of a trade-off. It's very much, there's an awesome product. I still think they're great, but they do have limitations. So you just need to be aware of them before you start using them.
Yep.
And, also, you can't put freshly boiled water in them because
you melted yours.
They'll melt and leak everywhere.
Great product for warm water.
That's something that I've learned this year with those Cedar Summit sink bowls that I know I've previously said, these are so great. And purely from a realistic perspective, because I'm a real person and I'm a real camper, this is the evolution of my opinion on that product. It's still great, but it has its limitations and you need to be careful.
Good one. All right. I've noted here that we've done, how long have we done videos for? Many years.
As in the podcast?
So if I go to all YouTube videos, I've been doing it for probably a long 5 or 6 years and yourself for 3 or 4 or something.
You've been doing it since before you could grow a beard.
Oh, gee, that's a bit rough. You're right.
Your earliest videos, you're like an actual baby.
Not that long ago.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Go back and have a look. He's got hair like a pom-pom and like literally no hair on his face.
Do I need to mention your eyelash episode?
No.
Don't start. We'll leave that one.
Leave it.
So we got through all those videos. You came on board, did videos, all of that. Got through season one without a single swear word. Season two, and I couldn't sift through all the hours of episode to find out which episode it was, but we had our first expletive from Lauren. And then most recently Cam came on board and now
dropped
a million in one episode. So
I just want to say that for anybody who knows me, I think that you can vouch for the fact that going 18 months without ever having accidentally dropped a swear word on this very high caliber show is very impressive, because outside of this professional setting,
Lauren gets pretty wound up.
I'm a bit of a sailor mouth. So
sailor mouth. I've never heard of that.
Yeah. So, thank my nan for that one.
I can't remember which episode it was, but it's bleeped out.
It's bleeped
Cam's
out.
Cam's episodes, you're going to have to dial back. Otherwise all his shows are going to be bleeps, but.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So you've mentioned this one as well, but I'm going to mention our interview with Kate Grarock, which was episode 55, Food for Adventure, was probably my favorite episode of the season.
It was good fun. Yeah.
It was a lot of good fun. Kate is brilliant. She's so awesome to talk to. She's so knowledgeable. Just in terms of how interviews go, I've loved all of our guests, don't get me wrong, but that episode was probably one of my favorite to record.
You're a fangirling big time.
Yeah,
before
I am a fan. I'll admit that. I think Kate's pretty fantastic.
Yeah. It's just such a cool, relaxed sort of chat.
Yeah, it was so good.
I'll add on to that one as well. Then these were episodes 55 with Kate and 70 with Harry Fisher, whose cookbook we sell.
Our Harry episode was awesome.
They were both really fun episodes, kind of relaxed chats with personalities in the camping and outdoor realm. So they were good fun.
So your next one.
Yeah, I've jumped ahead and now I'm going to go back one. But I just want to mention the water filtration episode because I did the research on that one. Now, Lauren does most of the research and stuff for these episodes and planning. You kind of administer all that. The water filtration one, you said, here's a topic, and I did the research and I had two pages of notes.
Because you had to nerd out on it.
And I did.
Yeah. It was probably the first time that you've actually really taken on an episode like yourself.
From the scratch. That you came in going, I gave you the notes. Yeah. You said, this is what we're talking about. And it was a lot of notes.
Yeah.
And I went into it thinking, I've got a lot to fit in to this episode. And it was kind of a point in the season that I remember because I remember thinking I'm going to have to just shut Lauren down with her opinions here a little bit because otherwise we're going to go for 2 hours. So, and I think we did pretty well.
We
I think
did
it
pretty
was
well.
45 minutes or something in the end.
So
I,
quiet.
I talked really fast and I had to pull you up a few times and say, stop. No.
Yeah, that is.
I'm talking my episode.
It was your episode. So you did really good.
I just want to mention that one.
That was a good episode too. Sweats don't exist.
I put a little, see there, do you see my little note
angry
here?
Face.
Angry face.
That sweats don't exist. I'm pretty sure that if you, I don't have the episode number here. What episode was our sweats episode?
Oh, I don't know. Season two.
Anyway, season two, sometime this year. That's been a big thing for me.
Swent tent or swag.
Anyway, that episode, swents don't exist. It was unanimous. Thank you, fine listeners, for most of them.
When was it unanimous?
It was pretty unanimous. I haven't decided.
I'm going to call it as unanimous based on no data.
There was a lot of data, all feedback. And sort of comments or overwhelming majority of feedback and comments from that episode was like, Swents don't really exist, Ben. And so that's a win. And so that's something, that's a season two takeaway for me is that Swents don't exist.
Well, I think if the word Swent or the conversation didn't exist, then there'd be a big chunk of this season's content that wouldn't exist as well because it's been a big talking point.
Don't be a sore loser. And,
I'm still, in my mind, I'm not a loser. I still think it's just a big grey area
around it. It's okay for you to think that, but it's just really, swags are swags, tents are tents.
I don't reckon the word swent's going anywhere anytime soon though.
You can use it as much as you like if you want. I'm going to mention ground sheets as well because this is one of those you know, who's right and who's wrong. Well, the swent episode was very much a who's right and who's wrong and I was right. But with the ground sheets, that episode was one that I went into that episode ultimately going, who needs a bloody ground sheet? Like they're just a waste of money and it's just an extra thing that you have to have in your kit and whatever. And you don't really – like you use a ground – like an annex mat sort of type space and a bit of a ground sheet or whatever.
Well, for the RV I use the whole thing.
Yeah, so like
our main wear areas. Yeah,
so have a look at the episode. I also don't know what episode that was, but we'll put that episode number down
in
show notes.
It's all season two. Yeah.
We'll put it all in show notes. Season two. But sort of the takeaway from that episode for me was that a large portion of the comments and the feedback around that episode was from people who have or do use a ground sheet under their tent or swag or whatever, and they've never gone back. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm 100% across annex matting and things like that, especially if you're dusty or dirty, but I'm not 100% across ground sheets. But since recording that episode, I have rethought a little bit.
Yeah, okay.
I guess a shift in my perspective on their value overall.
I think if you look in the comments on YouTube, there's a lot of people saying why they'll use it, how they use it. A lot of it is for the pack up. So if it's muddy ground, you've got a ground sheet, you've got the ground sheet to pack your tents up on and other benefits as well. So
that's something that this season is that I've learned a bit more about or not necessarily learnt, but understood the application of and see more value in.
Yeah. I've mentioned the tent peg episode here, but I'll go a bit broader because I've listened back on a few episodes because I've thought, have we just rambled on too much and got to the end and not necessarily reached a point, which in some realms I think we have, but then yeah. in the other realms I don't mind that because we largely go in very unscripted and just give our opinions on things and want to be able to relate to the process anyone has when they're going into a shop. But
yep.
One episode that we did ramble on a lot about was tent pegs. We entered it thinking, how are we going to talk for at least half an hour on tent pegs?
Yeah.
And we did it quite easily.
Really easily.
There's a lot to talk about with tent pegs. So.
Because I think that's one of the things, isn't it? When you're doing a podcast about camping, it sort of gets to a point where you're like, what else can we talk about?
We're getting to the nitty gritty.
People are going to find interesting or want to listen to, or that's going to have value in some way.
Mm.
And we get lots of questions about tent pegs, of course, but you're like, tent pegs, like, can we really do an episode on tent pegs? And it turns out that you can. So I guess, yeah, on the back of that, something else that I've really learned about this season is there is just so much more that you can talk about, more than yeah. you ever would have thought.
So next season, look out for zippers and side release buckles and D-rings. All three episodes.
Yeah, three episodes.
But on the flip side of the tent pegs, I listened back on a PLB episode that we did recently.
Yeah.
Which is quite a technical bit of content, and it was a long episode. And I did think maybe we could have approached it in a more structured way.
Probably.
Because we went on for a long time. All the information's there. It was just, you know, somewhat unstructured mind way went into it. And
yeah.
But that's something I've taken from the season. But I was impressed that we talked for that long about tent pegs.
Me too. CFS episode, we did an interview with the CFS Country Fire Service in South Australia. That was episode 45. So it's very early on in season two.
Mm. Phil. No. Shouldn't have said that.
Maybe.
I've forgotten.
Isn't that terrible?
That's pretty bad, yeah. Take me a while to look it up. Anyway, it's from South Australian CFS. We jumped on board and had
I'm gonna look it up.
A representative come on, and we talked about all the things around there's a lot of grey area around where you can use fires, when, et cetera, et cetera. Fires off the ground. All of those questions people had, and we wanted to get them answered by.
And there was some surprising information in there too.
There was,
and
yeah.
I think that given that we're sort of wrapping up season two and we're heading back into summer and fire ban season and all of that sort of jazz now, well and truly there, it's sort of a good time to revisit it. But that was also one that generated a lot of discussion because a lot of people were like, that's ridiculous.
There's a bit of people going like, you can't tell me I can or can't have a fire.
Yeah, Phil,
like that's what I
good
I
job.
Knew. Yeah.
Yeah, Phil from CFS. Well done. Benji, that was good.
I think there's a bit of emotion in there because it's a little bit of that authority kind of thing saying you can't do that and people saying, but I've always done that.
Yeah.
You can't tell me what to do. So, and that's what generated the discussion around it. But we did just want to try and pull up. And obviously it was South Australian focused.
Yeah.
We got a representative from the South Australian CFS, but we tried to apply that nationally as best we can as well.
Yeah.
But really good just to listen to it, to understand, you know, just what it means to what fire ban season means. I can't remember the content. I'd actually like to go back and listen to it again myself because it really was like episode.
Yeah, it was one of the very early ones in this particular season.
And it was great content.
Mm. So what else have you learned?
Anything more to say on that or is it my turn?
No, nothing more to say on that.
Okay. I'm going to mention red cordial.
Man, that was such a hot tip.
But the thing is that I actually want to try it because –
I did try it.
Did it work?
Yeah,
it
worked so good.
So this is a funny thing, right, because when you sell – water bladders.
Yeah.
You say don't use cordial and Gatorade and all that because it wrecks it, right? You get sticky, sugary stuff in it and it's not good. But then on the flip side, this cordial fix, which isn't recommended by any manufacturer, I should say. No one out there says put red cordial in it to get rid of the taste.
I'm just trying to find out who that – I can't off the top of my head remember, but I'm going to give them a shout out. This is from the Facebook group, by the way.
Yeah, someone recommended it, but then I've heard it in other places as well, and I don't know whether that stemmed from this first comment. I'd never heard of it before, but apparently it does work. You put red cordial in there. Some people say you can have a slight taste of red cordial afterwards, but it's better than the plastic taste you get in the water bladder because – tastes in water bladders is just an ongoing thing. There doesn't, I've been in the industry for over, 15 something years now, and there has always been an issue with plastic taste in water bladders. It's always been there. Never heard of
it. It's not unusual, is it? Like, especially with super high quality, I find it's more the super high quality bladders. And water vessels that seem to have
doesn't make sense when you think about it. So, yeah, the better quality, more durable, they have this sort of taste in it. My best, way to avoid it is just to use pure rainwater. But then I had someone comment recently and said, yeah, I do that as well and I still get the taste.
Yeah, right.
Some people are more prone to tasting it than others. But I'm yet to try this red cordial solution. But we should say this with a caveat, like I mentioned before, that I think if you have an issue and you've used excessive red cordial and it's caused a problem, the manufacturer may turn around and say, don't use cordial in it. I'm not exactly sure what warranty implications that has, but quite frankly, if you get
my phone's freaking out, so I can't look up who it was. So if that was you and you mentioned red cordial in that thread about your bladder tasting weird, thank you.
Thanks, it was great.
But lemon and bicarb, I've always used.
Yeah, me too.
And I was just like, you know what, I'm just going to go with this red cordial, and it just works.
Yeah, right. You know what? If
you do have that, you do have that very minor taste of red cordial after, but it goes away.
That's better than the plastic taste, right? Yeah. And you know what, if you use red cordial in it and it shortens the life of your bladder, but you've had more use out of that bladder in that short life, then it's probably, it's a better option anyway, if you like the water out of it. So that was a big thing I learned. Haven't tried it yet, but good to know you have.
Yeah, because we had, actually, now think about that. Back earlier this year when we were at Kangaroo Island, we had a camelback bladder, the more darker grey plastic camelback.
The military ones.
Yeah, mil-spec camelback bladder. And just the water tasted so smoky. And we'd used it for about a year and we'd done everything we could. Beg my pardon, sorry. And we couldn't actually get the flavor out. But, you know, we got used to it and we figure it's not really harming us, whatever. But then when we were at KI, it was so hot and we had Bickford's grapefruit, grapefruit cordial, pink grapefruit cordial. And so we were just like chucking a tablespoon of sea salt and a dash of this cordial in the bladder and then filling it up with water. And so we had our own little sort of electrolyte thing.
Oh, yeah.
And ever since we did that, it's now the flavor's gone.
Really?
And so that's why I got a new water cell. I just straight up use red cordial. Yeah, worked.
I'm going to give it a try.
Yeah. I'm going to bring this up only because I remember being equally mortified and amused. In episode 51, we were talking about toileting solutions. And you were talking about burning your toilet paper. And I had never somehow in my 36 years of camping and digging holes, I'd never heard of burning the toilet paper with a lighter in the hole after you've gone to help it, you know, break down and whatever. Never.
Yeah.
And so you kept referencing burning your toilet paper and I'm just imagining people just sitting around the fire, toast their marshmallows and water, and Benji comes back from doing a number two in the bush and just chucks his toilet paper on the fire. Like, I thought that's what you meant when you were talking about burning toilet paper, that you were talking about bringing it back and chucking it in your campfire.
Well, you could do
that. I remember in that episode I was like, what are you talking about, mate? And you were just like, no, you idiot. You burn it in the hole.
You could
do that. And that changed my life. You could do that, but I don't recommend it.
Just with
family. But that episode, it just cracked me up.
I think we questioned.
Cracked me up.
Have a listen. There's a few funny bits in there.
So thank you for that. And thank you for teaching me that you can burn loo roll in just the hole.
Obviously, do it carefully because you don't want to end up with a bushfire from it. Anyway, just treat it carefully. My next point, it was something, it's one of those things where we state research stuff and get to a point where you go, okay, I'm confident stating that.
Yeah.
And we state it on the podcast And then if it's wrong, usually someone pulls us up on it, which is cool because we can just talk and go, oh, we messed up and we learn from it. I thought I knew what salt did when you put it in water and you tried to boil it. Turns out I did not.
You're right.
I thought adding salt lowered the boiling point of water.
Okay.
And this was in a cooking
One Pot Wonders?
No, I think it was
our One Pot Wonders episode and you were talking about boiling pasta?
It could have been that one, yeah.
Okay.
And I thought it lowered the boiling point of the water.
Okay.
I was being smart, so this is what it does. I'm a scientist and all. And someone pulled me up and said, actually, no, you're wrong. Politely said, love your content, but unfortunately you're wrong. I'm not sure about that. And I looked it up and went, I am wrong.
So what does it do?
Well, it turns out it's marginal, the actual difference it makes. So I checked out Dr. Karl Kruzelnitsky's website because he's the be-all of science. So salt raises the boiling point but lowers the heat something, which means it boils quicker but hotter. So it reaches boiling point quicker but it's hotter. But if you read into it, all it really means, like I think, like Dr. Carl says, it raises the boiling point. Like a big spoonful of salt in a, I don't know how much water, is going to raise the boiling point by 4/100ths of a degree.
Oh.
So a little bit.
Okay.
And then I think even adding the salt, the speed in which it actually makes it boil faster is negligible too. So at the end of the day, just put salt in your water because it makes your pasta taste better. That's all it is.
But it doesn't make it easier to boil technically.
Well, I guess it boils at a higher point, so maybe it cooks the food quicker. But I think
I always thought salt was in the water to stop the pasta from sticking together.
Wow, is that – that's another theory.
Like if you put pasta in boiled water and there's no salt in it, that the pasta could, as it cooks, like clump together. But I don't know.
No, I think
– I don't know
I've
things.
I've not read that anywhere.
It's a camping show, not a cooking show.
I think if you want your pasta to taste better, put some salt in it. If you're trying for a low-sodium diet, leave the salt out and it's not really going to make any difference.
Do you know what I think? I think people should save all their cooking questions – now for
camp.
we're not answering these questions anymore.
Though, right? Not a cooking question.
Yeah, but cooking anyway, is science.
I was wrong and I think I'm going to boil it down to don't get too bogged down in the how hot it is or how quickly it boils. Just put salt in to make your pasta taste better.
Okay. Another season two thing is my Crocs. I couldn't not talk about my Crocs.
I'm going to say I was wrong here too because more people are pro Crocs than I actually realised.
Yeah, so.
I'm still not getting a pair.
That's okay. But if you're new here or you haven't really been around that long, there was an opportunity earlier this year where I was going to buy Crocs and I couldn't decide on a color. So everybody in our Facebook group got to vote on the color Crocs that I bought and everyone unanimously voted
Snowy's orange.
Snowy's orange.
When's the last time you've worn these, by the way? I haven't seen them in the office for a while.
No, I haven't worn them in the office for a little while. I reckon.
They're just gardening shoes now?
No, I reckon about 2 weeks ago when I was away.
Right.
Yeah, they pretty much just live in the van. They're so good.
There's photos on the Facebook page of Lauren and I think in a few episodes. We'll probably put it in this episode.
There was an episode where they physically got delivered as we were recording the episode. That was very exciting. But anyway.
She violated the bench here by putting her orange Crocs up on there.
Thank you, everyone, for helping me choose the colour of my Crocs.
Now, I've added another thing in here that I actually noted yesterday.
Okay.
From a I didn't write the name down, but someone commented on YouTube about after our Instant Up Tents episode.
Okay.
And the diet room coatings, because I've always – and you and I said, why do people want the diet room coating? Like, I like waking up with the sun.
Yeah.
And this person said, well, it's actually really handy in, like, caravan parks at night because they've got lights on, right?
Dull.
So you go,
so obvious. Yeah.
Like, I wish everyone who asked me about the dark cream coating for the past, like, I don't know however many 5 or 10 years that's been available, that I said, I gave them that bit of advice.
Me too.
Like, I mean, I had a moment at ACOF. I'm lying in the tent in the
swag.
23-0 swag at ACOF and it was hot, so I've unzipped the sides of the swag and I've got myself comfortable.
And you get this bloody floodlight in your face.
And I rolled over and the floodlight, because it was in an event that we were staying in the event, was right in my face. So then I had to sit up and do that side of the tent up.
Yeah.
If I had the dark room coating, which I did, which those swags are dark anyway, but That was you, a but you opened example. Up
your window. But yeah, I know what you're saying.
So I'm just
and
like,
I think that makes me be like, yeah, duh.
That makes sense.
But I think it's probably just evident that you and I aren't real. We're not caravan park campers.
No, we're not. But I've been in there before and I've had that where I've gone, what are these lights? These damn lights at night. I can't sleep. But
agree.
My mind didn't make the connection between how much beneficial that dark creek fabric
would
be in that
instance.
Yeah, that
is actually a brilliant point.
So thanks for that point.
Whoever that YouTube person was.
I wrote down what they said, but it seems that we've said I forgot to write a few things down in this episode, but I forgot to write their
That's a very good point. Thank you.
I just went, oh, brilliant. Yeah, bit of an aha moment.
The only other thing I want to raise from season two, it's not necessarily podcast specific related, but going to the Riverland Camp Oven Festival in Renmark.
It was a highlight.
So it was the second time that I've done that personally. I went last year for Snowies and it was so good. And I hope we're going to do it again next year.
2024.
No. Riverland.
Oh, Riverland.
Not
Acoff.
Riverland up at Renmark.
Okay.
And I just, had a blank in my mind then, and then I looked at my notes. I want to know from our listeners, because not everyone listens to us from South Australia,
mm-hmm.
and obviously you have the big, big national one in Mill Marion in Queensland that we went to,
mm-hmm.
but there's a Riverland Camp Oven Festival. Are there any other camp oven festivals? Are there any other local state-based camp oven festivals, Victoria, New South Wales, Northern Territory, Tasmania, Western mm-hmm. Australia, that anybody knows of that they want to give us a shout out about, because I'd really love to hear about them.
Not even just camp oven. If there's any camping outdoor, we attend a few other things here in Adelaide, running event and a hiking event that we go to.
Yeah.
Just with us, or you and I. I've been to the running event before, but not the hiking one, but Snowy's a representing.
Are you on Team Snowy's running team next year?
I don't know. I'd like to be. See how we go. But that's cool. We all get there with our orange t-shirts on.
Yeah, that is fun. But yeah, let us know if there's any more of those sort of events in your home state that we might not have already covered.
Acoff was a bit of a highlight. And have you watched Cam's? So Kieran, our video guy who is launching all that, has just put a video out called The Seasoned Chef, which is on Cam's journey from us saying, hey, do you want to do some cooking stuff, Cam, to – by the way, do you want to go to Acoff and you're competing by yourself against large groups? And his whole journey through that and the curveballs that Acoff threw at us with weather and stuff. And it's a really awesome video and a good lead into his cooking series, which would be live by the time this goes live.
Yep,
so
it is live.
That was definitely a highlight of the season.
So I think that's about it for our season wrap-ups.
Yeah, make sure you tell us what you want next season. And we also want to mention the Facebook group too. If you've got other people who want to just get involved in the conversation, tell them about it. We want
doesn't
more,
even
more
have
people.
To be podcast specific, really. No, just camping, information, cool.
Enthusiasts, just general. Doesn't have to be, you don't have to be an expert. We're just new, old, seasoned, professional.
Well, think about that boiling point of water, red cordial. Like there's just so much stuff that we learn from you guys as well. So
any
questions, chuck them in there.
Yep.
In the meantime, we'll be back on Monday the 16th of January. So we've got a good couple of weeks off.
We've committed to that date now, haven't
we? We have committed to that date. And we hope that everybody has a safe and camping filled Christmas, New Year, summer holiday period.
Yep.
See you next year.
See you guys.